Welcome to the latest episode in the Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. My guest today is Sridhar Iyengar, Head of Europe and UK at Zoho. Today we're going to talk about the challenge that hybrid working poses to the privacy of individuals and businesses. Hello, Sridhar.
Hi, I'm Sridhar Iyengar from Zoho, and I lead Zoho's operations in the UK and Europe. So I'm based here in the Netherlands and happy to talk to you.
When we think about the conversation around privacy, it's almost always focused on the consumer or what the business must do with PII. But with the introduction of hybrid working, everything's going to change for people. How are you seeing that presenting a challenge at the moment?
People have been working remotely for a while, but I think in the last 1.5 years, most of us have been in a remote kind of a work. That means that people who are not prepared for it, either employees or even employers, were forced to adopt this model as a result of the pandemic. While everyone's remotely working, some employees may not have either the means or the environment or the tools for them to effectively work. It's not just from a functionality of the tool standpoint, it's also about data privacy, whether they're using the tools and whether they're able to work in a fully secure mode that can ensure their privacy is not compromised, is not exposed. That's not just for their privacy, it's also privacy of the company that they call confidential data and so on.
There are multiple issues here with privacy, aren't there? We've got the privacy of the individual. We've got the protection and privacy of their data. We've got the protection and privacy of information that might be around their desk. And we have to think about where they themselves are beginning to store data, particularly as we're seeing individuals buying their own applications for the cloud. Where does an organization begin to structure its education and structure its understanding of those risks?
That's a good question. Employers have asked their employees to work on certain areas. It could be the sales department, more marketing. When they provide tools, it's also the employer's responsibility to ensure that these tools and the tool providers that they choose provide tools to do it in a secure and safe way. Employers can provide these secure environments for their employees to work in so that whenever they do something to perform their day-to-day tasks, they do it in a secure way. To reinforce and educate their employees, they have to provide training, guidelines, what to do, what not to do, because oftentimes you've seen that in today's world, the browser is our window to the outside world, even for business applications. That means when someone launches a browser and clicks on a website, they should be knowing that it's secure, it's not tracking something that's personal to them or any other business confidential information. The employer has to make sure that the employee works in this environment that is secure and can keep employee and their data secure.
One of the challenges is hidden pixels on screen. It shares data with organizations that you may not know about. In addition, we're seeing a lot of app vendors now wanting to share data with their partners because for them, it's about expanding that business relationship with partners. But companies and individuals aren't often aware that this is going on. How do we address this?
It's a very valid point, Ian, and very important in today's context where data privacy has taken such a front stage. And a lot of times when we talk about data privacy and GDPR, most companies would have certain policies that talk about their customers' data, user data, employee data. What they may not be aware is the tools that they use internally or by their own employees to serve their customers may not adhere to these kind of data privacy compliances or regulations. That means that their employees could be potentially using tools that expose either their customer data or their own employee data independently to other third parties who may use it for monetizing them. And it comes back to this, what we're seeing around us is there's a lot of monetization of data. That's what's driving all this. So more people have their business models set up around monetizing data. And that sets up the wrong set of incentives on how to use data. If a company partners with the wrong set of partners who try to monetize this data, then that's going to be trouble for them. What they have to ensure is when they use third-party applications, they are equally secure from a security and privacy standpoint. They have to thoroughly evaluate that neither their customer data or their employee data is compromised. That requires a very thorough due diligence. It could be in the form of pixel trackers, it could be in the form of what's happening with the cookies or any other information that's embedded in these third-party applications. There are tools available that can tell you the number of trackers or surveillance mechanisms that are embedded in these third-party. It's very important what kind of tools that you use.
If we were working in the office on computers and systems that the company owns, then it's quite easy for an organization to configure browsers and configure software to try and keep that data from leaking. But the challenge of remote working over the last 18 months has been that people are using their own technology, their own laptops, their own phones, their own tablets. The organization has no access to those devices and often no way to configure the way that they're used. How do we do a better job of educating users on privacy on their own devices?
This goes back to the typical discussion that people have around bring your own devices. So if you look at that, there are two parts to it. One is the education to the users on what they should do and what they should not do. Put in policies and control systems so that they don't even accidentally do the wrong thing. That means making sure they've got the right set of applications on their devices, make sure that they're accessing the right URL, they have the right browser settings, cookie settings, and all of that. The environment is controlled through your security policies that you have put in place in your company. And that's basically going back to the various security policies that a company has to enforce on employees' devices. That could be on the laptop, phone, whatever they use.
Let's address the challenge of privacy in a work environment. In the office, most of our conversations with our colleagues when it comes to data, especially confidential data, is held off camera, it's face to face, and we all have control of that environment. Employees working at home are now working in a world of collaboration, video conferencing with cameras into their homes, cameras into the desk space around them. They may not be as aware of what information is on their desk. They may not be as aware of what can be seen behind them in their family situation. How do we do a better job, again, of not just educating the employee, but actually of ensuring that the tools they use enable them to keep that information hidden from third parties?
As I said earlier, one part is the education part. The second is also understanding whether the employees have the right environment at home, which means if they're getting on an important meeting, they have a secure environment that can keep all confidential information safe. They have a well-designed workplace, which means a desk with the right ergonomic settings for them to work comfortably. But it's also that the company culture is educating the users that they have to act in the best interest of the company. If there are things that shouldn't be said are not said, that's a constant education that employees have to do.
One of the things we've seen is the massive use of screen sharing. But how many times have we sat in a presentation and suddenly in the middle of somebody sharing a screen, messages will come up from Skype or Slack or other tools at the bottom that they don't necessarily want to share with the audience? Once again, we need a better way of making sure that people are aware of the risk that this poses. How do we do that?
This is something that we've seen over the period of years, and it's gotten better. It's gotten better because people are more aware that there's certain applications, especially personal applications, that shouldn't be running on your work laptop, because the lines between what's work and what's personal has blurred over the last 1 year, especially. They are aware what shouldn't be running in parallel. It could be notification on certain non-work related applications or even turning off those notifications. In fact, there are some tools that are available in the market that have the setting to turn certain applications off, and this can be used during your meeting. It's basically a process of prepping and then making sure that your meetings or confidential discussions are happening in secured and in a mode that doesn't compromise your confidential information.
In that line of tools, the other one comes back to tools that are recording what we do. We tend to see a lot of meetings now being recorded. Those meetings are not just recorded on the local machine, they're recorded on cloud servers. They're then shared amongst a group of people. But we never actually delete the original recording off of the server where it's been placed. That raises a significant data risk for an organization. How do IT begin to get control of all of those meeting recordings that are sitting out there somewhere in the cloud?
That's a very valid question, because in the last 1 year, the number of video conferencing and audio calls have skyrocketed. It all comes back to why do you record and for what purposes? GDPR, when it was launched in 2018, made us all aware of this, that everything has to be based on consent, based on the purpose, legitimate interest, and should have an expiry date. Meaning, first you start off with asking everyone on a call whether you can record it. Second is, of course, state the purpose behind it. You're recording this for certain people, certain reasons, who you're going to share it with. And every organization needs to have a policy on when the recordings will be available, and when they're going to be deleted, and adhere to that. It comes back to compliances on your both security and privacy policy. And you have to inform the participants about that as well. It's part of GDPR compliance, because any data, be it even audio recording, video recording, is part of corporate data.
One of the big risks we've seen with collaboration software, and this goes back over a decade and a half, is that individuals on a call will often pull documents into a shared library for everybody in that meeting. Now, some of those documents may be company confidential, but that individual will make the decision that they need to be shared with people. What doesn't happen is we don't stop that sharing after the call. We don't make sure that copies aren't taken. Is there a stage here where IT has to take control of all document sharing, or at least be better aware of what is being shared on meetings?
The role of IT is basically like a gatekeeper. It could be IT, it could be IT security teams, where they have to make sure that they are able to audit and ensure there are no data leakages or unauthorized access. Oftentimes, when you look at data or presentations or any document in certain folders, you have to ask these questions. You have to basically make sure that teams are able to fill in who has access to this, is it really required, for what purpose, what's the expiry date on this. Meaning they have to review it periodically, because it's possible that a certain person has changed their role over, let's say, 6 months, and beyond 6 months, that document is no longer required to be shared with them. There has to be an expiry date. They have to constantly review it over a period of time to make sure that only the right set of people have access to the right amount of data.
How does IT become that gatekeeper in a friendly way? Historically, the IT as a gatekeeper has been a very contentious issue between IT and users. But as we move forwards, we need a more soft touch environment. Is that possible?
Well, I think that's the way it's evolving, because IT was traditionally the naysayer in the company. So if you want resources, they'll say no. With the emergence of cloud, where lines of businesses could directly adopt software without asking IT, it's equalized the ground. And now the IT is seen as the enabler of certain services. Enabler not just for access and functionality, but also enabler for certain critical corporate functions like security and privacy. A lot of teams and companies understand that. They know that if they don't comply with certain requirements that IT is bringing to them, they could be non-compliant with respect to either privacy or security or governance policy, and that could put the entire company at risk. We've all seen that the penalties for non-compliance are very high, not to talk about the reputational damages that it could have on the company. People are aware that IT's role is required, and IT knows that it has to cooperate in a friendly way with lines of business. It's a give and take.
IT's been put to some degree in an invidious position over the last year. We've seen a significant rise in the amount of surveillance applications that employers were using in the first phase of lockdown to make sure employees were actually at their desk. It shows a lack of trust between employer and employee. It also shows that there's a whole bunch of things that need to be worked out here if we're going to make remote working a standardized part of the new world going forwards. How do we deal with surveillance? Should companies be using surveillance?
That's a very good point. It comes back to what's the kind of work culture that you set. In a traditional office environment where everyone's physically there, physically available, you can see them. So you know how many hours they're spending on work, if not work, at least at their desk, right? That definition of measuring an employee's productivity is gone. It's not the right approach. Instead of measuring people by the number of hours you put in, it has to be based on what is the result or objective of their work, what are they producing. You have to judge it based on outcome and not by when they're clocking in, clocking out, and things like that. We've seen that in the last 1 year. When a person starts work, it varies. It could vary based on where they are, because today a lot of people work remotely. They could be working in different time zones. They could be starting work at different hours. A lot of people have home offices now. So if you've got young children, you may start work after sending the kids to school. That means there is this trust between the employer and employee to make sure that the employee can work at flexible hours and you trust that they'll do the right thing to produce the right results. That kind of environment based on trust is very important. I think it's a fundamental part of your organization culture.
How much do we need to step back and reassess what an individual's role is in the company and what the work they have to do means to the company? If you're customer facing, it's not unreasonable that there is a shift that you do in front of your machine that has a start and a finish time. However, if a lot of your work is analysis, then there's much more flexibility as to where in the day you do that work to allow you to fit that around family life. Have companies started to seriously look at that changing understanding of an employee and what their workload is? Or are we just at the beginning of a whole new reinvention of work?
We are still in the very early days of this flexible working. Yeah. If you look at an ideal situation, an employer needs to be cognizant of the nature of the work that the employee is doing and adjust their working times, be understanding of at least the working time depending on the nature of work. If you are, for example, frontline, if you're working in your department that is facing customers, you have to basically work to the timings of your customers. But if you are working in a creative area that is not bound to a certain time, then you could basically work during times where you are more productive, more creative. This kind of flexibility that allows different employees to work at different hours to produce the best work that they can, depending on the nature of the work, is something that employers have to understand. We're still at the very early stage because you cannot have one set of rules for everybody. It has to be flexible to accommodate different people depending on the kind of work that they do.
But that also brings back this privacy challenge, doesn't it? Because if my employees are going to move their work day around, the times when they're actually at their desk may well mean there's more chance of children or partners coming in and out of a room. They may not have a preserved space that can act as an office. They may have to work at a kitchen table or work in another room in the house where there's going to be interruptions. Many of that family interaction moments are not something that an employer should be recording or having any contact with. How do we educate the employer to respect the employee's privacy?
We've seen this quite frequently in the last 1 year where most of the work is happening from home. This requires a discussion between the employer and employee to understand what are those hours that an employee can just to focus on work. It's not about just the hours, it's also the environment that can keep all this corporate data, discussion, information secure, and do it in a privacy of a home office. They need that environment. When that environment is available could differ from person to person, depending on their own personal situation. That has to be discussed and employers have to accommodate and understand those situations.
If we think about the technology that we've got available to us, we've got a range of policies we can bring to people. We've got technology like the Secure Access Service Edge that we can use. How many companies are deploying SASE at this moment in time? And how many are thinking seriously of what they can do to improve the situation?
We're seeing a fair bit of adoption on that. If you look at it, most of the work today is going digital. In fact, all of it. That means users have to have this kind of a secure environment, privileged information such as passwords, settings, all that to be a very secure environment, protected environment. And that means that companies are investing in these tools and applications to provide that kind of environment to keep this data, settings, and environment very secure.
Digital transformation is part of that whole process, but digital transformation isn't a one and done operation. When you talk to your customers, how many of them are planning for multiple phases of digital transformation?
Digital transformation is an evolving phrase. It's a catch-all term to encompass everything digital. That means anything that you do going from paper to a spreadsheet or a word processor application to automating your sales automation system, Everything is basically digital transformation. There is no end date to this, meaning digital transformation is going to be a continuous process. It's going to be an evolving process where you're going to have to reevaluate, relook at how you can improve work digitally across different systems, different departments, working with your employees, working with customers. All of that is part of this journey of digital transformation. So this is going to be a continuous process. So we're going to be talking about digital transformation even after 10 years, and maybe it'll have a new name and different name, but it's going to be as part of the same long journey.
I rather suspect, just like we've had Industry 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, we're going to see a similar thing with people talking about digital transformation 1.0, 8.0, 10.0, and so on.
The technology aspect of this will change. You'll have new technology coming in. You'll have new ways of engagement coming in. You'll have new styles of work coming in. But all of that will be classified under the broad category of digital transformation.
This is the point where I put all of my attendees on the podcast on the spot. Imagine you're now stood on stage in front of a room full of people trying to understand what they do around privacy, remote workers, and the business going forward. What are the three things that they can take away and get started on today?
The three things that I would emphasize as a takeaway from this podcast would be, one is for employers to be aware of the work environment that your employees are working in, which means have the right set of tools, application, control systems, policy, and education to ensure that employees access the information in the right way, secure way, being aware of data privacy. The second is being able to partner with the right set of app providers who provide not only the functionality of tools, but also do it in a very secure way, making sure the employee data is protected, your corporate data is protected. And third is invest in continuous education of your employees to make sure that they're aware of the do's and don'ts. It's not just about education. You also have to test them because you have to make sure that they really understand. So it means training and it means self-assessment or some kind of an assessment where they answer questions so that you know that they've understood it well. These are the top things I would say the responsibility of the employer.
One of the things I've seen over the last 18 months is employers are starting to understand that need for continuous education, not give somebody a day's education once a year and assume that that's going to take them all the way through.
That's absolutely right. People talk about continuous improvement. That applies not just to digital system and IT policies and processes. It also applies to people's knowledge. There has to be, because technologies change, processes change. People have to be aware of what are the implications of that on privacy and security, confidentiality. So that constant education is important, as is constant evaluation, whether they've understood the right thing.
Sridhar, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you so much, Ian. It was a pleasure being here.